You are not in an animal sanctuary, but you are at the Create Podcast, and we are making animal noises because it's fun. So welcome, listeners, to the Create Podcast. Those of you who know our podcast know that we are Natalie and Kristen, and we love to have these kind of conversations. We love to have you guys listening in on these conversations. Create is an acronym that stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression, because we believe that we're all artists and we're all here for a beautiful and great and sacred purpose. And we all want to rise and live our purpose together because it's just more fun that way.
Yes, it's a lot more fun that way.
And speaking of fun, we brought you a very special present all the way from Bali. Those of you who know that Kristen had a dream in her heart to go to Bali for a very long time, she made a Pinterest board. She invited us to go with her. We said yes. And while we were in Bali, I reached out to a member of our Create community who happened to be living in Bali and said, hey, we want to connect with someone amazing, like someone who does energy work or healing, just someone who's really awesome who lives in Bali who could take us on some sort of journey. And she said, well, you must reach out to my friend, Gabriella. And long story short, which you'll hear all about, we met with Gabriella, we fell deeply in love, and we had to bring her here on our podcast so you could all fall in love with her too. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we would like to present to you the goddess, the one and only, Gabriella Mazur, who is our temple priestess, performance transmission artist, and one of the most beautiful and divinely connected women I have ever met, to the point where when I was in her presence, I just had my mouth agape in awe at the truth that was coming out of her lips. So we had to share her with you, and here she is.
Oh, thank you so much. No pressure. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm feeling all the feelings now. Thank you so much for that introduction. Such an honor to have met you both and the remaining group of you beautiful women.
Yes.
So good to have you here. So when we met, we had asked Gabriella if there's four of us ladies, and we had asked her if she could do some of her sacred work with us. And she specifically works with Magdalena and the dark feminine and divine feminine. And we were like, yes, 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 all of these things. So Gabriella, if you want to tell us a little more about what it is that you do, what it is that you're interested in, how you got interested in all this, I know everyone is going to be so excited.
Wow. Yes. So Mary Magdalene came into my life out of the blue, literally, in a deep meditation, one full moon. I just had a thought come through to me, like, Mary Magdalene, like, you would like a glass of water or go to the toilet. And I didn't really make much of it until I started researching, and the epiphanies started to happen, and synchronicities started to unfold, and I started to follow these yellow brick roads, you know, just following the synchronicities. And it all led me right here, right now. And the learnings of Mary Magdalene have been very deep and profound. I have met with the dark feminine. I have done very deep shadow work now, and I'm really connected to more of the elements of the repressed side of the sacred feminine, the parts that are really wanting to rise and shine and be spoken and heard. So this is kind of getting more into definition. I do temple journeys. I've only done it one-on-one, which is my rite of passage that I offer to women. And when you contacted me, there was a beautiful opportunity to bespoke and create and curate a ceremony for the four of you together, which I was so grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, so taking the four of you on a journey together, what a blessing. So that's mainly that side. And I'm someone who comes from the performance arts. I've always had a fascination in embodying emotions and deep felt emotions and stories and archetypes. And I think it's a very normal transition from that to here, because I've had this research of deep feeling. And I say, if it's the stage or if it's the temple, to me are the same. I get to embody and free myself and hopefully free the ones who are there on the journey with me.
Mm.
Gabriella, when you were with us, one of the first things that you said that was like a lightning bolt in the room, you said, now is not the time of the rise of the feminine. Now is the time of the rise of the dark feminine. And I was wondering if you would mind going into that, what that means for our listeners.
So a lot of my work is done through energy, through presence, through touch, through multisensorial landscapes. So for me to bring it more into a more wordy way of communicating is challenging. But when I say that, which is kind of coming through me, it is touching upon the part of the feminine, again, that is repressed, that is kept in the shadow realms. The feminine, the mother Mary, the virgin, the civilized woman is very familiar, is very much in our a model. We see her and feel her all the time, but she is disempowered without her counterpart of the dark feminine, of this more wild self, this woman that can speak her truth, that is more unapologetic, that is sexual, that is connected with everything, that she's truly empowered. So it's about uncovering and letting that side of us rise. And this also claims to take back responsibility for us women, because we like to blame society, patriarchy, and the outer world for the repression of the feminine. But many women, especially women, have a very much difficulty of letting that side of themselves be seen, to allow themselves to be angry, to allow themselves to access those harder emotions. We judge ourselves. So actually the repression is coming from within us. And it's time for us to let that side of ourselves rise through our own inner work and taking full responsibility. So that we're empowered and not blaming the world and staying in victim consciousness.
Oh, and it's so profound to note that it's easy to point the finger to, like you said, the patriarchy or the world or the culture for the repression. But how often do we as women are the first ones to be jealous or competitive or catty with one another, or to condemn each other for being bitchy or too loud or too outspoken, or who does she think she is, that we will participate in that with ourselves. Like, you know, we don't want to be seen as the bitch or the too loud one or the messy one or the imperfect one, but we also don't allow other women the dignity of their mess as well.
Yeah, well, that's the blueprint of shadow work. We project on the other that which we haven't completed in our own selves. So that which we are judging, especially what we are judging and whatever brings a charge, an energetic charge, like we call the trigger, we know that there's something that they're mirroring in our own selves. So again, it's going back to yourself and doing the work for yourself without having to change somebody else, because it makes you feel uncomfortable. I say get uncomfortable and do the work.
I took a lot of notes when we were with you, Gabriella. And one of the things you said that I loved is, if you feel confused, something is working.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about what that means?
I'll speak it as plainly as I can, which is basically when our neural pathways are reconnecting, are creating new synapses, which is rewiring, as we like to call it. So then therefore it's like we have so much electricity lighting up in our brain. It's almost like, which direction am I going? I used to go in this direction, but there's a new neural pathway, a new belief system, a new way of thinking or feeling is lighting up. At the same time, there's kind of this push and pull, and it's confusing. You're like, what is it then? And it's like, okay, I'm confused. Therefore I know something's rewiring. I know something's processing. It's like, I'm learning something. I'm therefore, I don't know everything. Because we want things to shift. And so welcome the confusion, because something is shifting. It's okay to be that vulnerable. It's actually a celebration. Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think we repress as well, is we want to be seen as perfect. We want to be seen as together. We want to be seen as we have all the answers. But yet the learning and the embodying and the opening to what we haven't been before, part of that process is the beginner's mind and the confusion and the not knowing. So we need to be comfortable in that discomfort.
Yes. And it's so welcome. And it's so, so vibrant with new beginnings, new territory, new treasure. It's like, if you stagnate your energy, if you stagnate your learning, if you stagnate your personality, I mean, you know, things, if you look at a pond and the water that's not circulating, it gets really, really full of disease and full of illness. There's no circulation. There's no real like vitality moving through your body. And that's why I think what's really trained me up and the benefits that I gained from being an artist who's always learning a new choreography, is always learning a new style of dancing or style of acting or traveling, or now you have to do it in this theater, now you're going on stage, or you're changing the environment. You're always in this vulnerable state and acknowledging yourself to learn again, the beginner's body, as you said. It's wonderful. It's that innocence, that childlike energy, that curiosity that is unfortunately put aside because, again, as you said, we want to impress people, we want to be loved, we want to be a pleaser, we want to be self-sufficient, independent, strong, all these things. When deep down, the irony is that we're all craving for connection and to be able to hold each other. Mm. And we're all just this self-sufficient like masks, and we're not learning, we're not shifting, and we're disconnected from each other.
That's, you know, it really hits me when you say that we have to take responsibility for that repression that we see in the world. Like, we have to stop suppressing ourselves. We have to take responsibility for it and bring ourselves into the world. And another thing you said that day that also really hit me hard was, if you keep rejecting yourself, you'll be rejected. And since like that nugget started working on me, not only have I seen that in myself, like, where am I rejecting a piece of myself, but also been able to see it reflected back in others of when I've noticed that there's someone's energy I don't want to go near, I can almost feel like the self-rejection inside of them. It's very, really interesting. But I've been thinking about how do we not reject ourselves, and how do we create more acceptance and love for ourselves? And I was just wondering if you could talk about a little bit about both of those.
Yeah. So it's really case by case, but it's getting, again, uncomfortable. It's allowing yourself to not be perfect. What does that mean? It means different for some people. Some people want to be beautiful aesthetically. And so I'd say get familiar with being ugly. Allow yourself to get ugly. Walk in the street completely ugly. Like, break those codes. Break through those walls. And it can be with any dimension or whatever polarity and struggle and power dynamic you're having through within. So if it's being seen crying and vulnerable, asking for help or wanting a hug, or, you know, sometimes just asking for help can be daunting for someone. It makes them feel incredibly uncomfortable. If you're afraid of it, do it. Whenever I find myself like afraid of something or uncomfortable, I'm like, okay, and now I know I have to do it. Because it's about stretching those walls, stretching the comfort zone in one way, and expanding yourself to feel more and more whole and more complete. We all say, I want to feel whole and complete. Well, this is the journey. It's through discomfort. It's through that beautiful adrenaline pumping almost, you know. It's like, okay, I can do this and keep breaking through. So it's difficult to do a blanket idea, but it's on your own individual journey. Because for somebody, speaking their truth can be daunting, and somebody asking for help can be daunting. But maybe someone who only asks for help, maybe it's more daunting for them to not ask help, so then go through that avenue. So it's really on an individual basis.
And it was so clear as you were working with our group that I feel like all of us, whether it was through our conversation or through the certain things and practices and dances and meditations and all the things you were taking us through, but I feel like all of us had a moment where there was a part of ourselves that is perhaps we would call the normally rejected part of or the more uncomfortable part. And I could even feel in myself the almost, I want to call it the wanting to bypass it and say, but, you know, I'm supported by the universe, or but this. Or, and I remember you saying, or you could just stay with that and just breathe into it, right? And not try to get anywhere else. And I know everyone's experience in the group, there was a different moment of the thing of, now let's just stay here in this discomfort that you're feeling. And let's, as a group of women, just witness you in your discomfort without trying to change it or fix it or tell you you're wrong or bad. And that was one of the most powerful parts of being witnessed in what feels deeply uncomfortable and human and vulnerable without feeling like anyone was trying to fix you.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And it's coming to this more tribal sense that we have of needing to kind of belong and having accessibility of this connection, which is what we're craving for. And when we are witnessed by another going through a process, it's that much more powerful than doing it on our own. It's so crucial to find your allies or find professional help, someone that can really hold space and support you, not to fix you, not to change you, not to give you the solutions, but simply witness and watch you and love you no matter what, because you are not that thing. You are not a thing. You are so much more than all of that. And to allow yourself to welcome in the room, welcome in the space, every aspect of yours is radical. It's radical self-love. It's radical unconditional self-love. And it's very easy in many of the spiritual realms, the kind of new agey thing is to bypass, as you were saying, you know, and simply jump over, or like, okay, no, I'll just think positive and everything will change. And there's deeper work there, and it's really about allowing ourselves to feel. The trick is, and it's like, oh, if I feel negative feelings, then will I attract negative feelings and more with this whole law of manifestation that we have. And the thing is that if we reject that feeling, then what you are actually putting there is the medicine of rejection. If you welcome it and say, yes, I will love you, negative whatever, I will love you, there it is, the medicine of love, saying yes to it. So you already alchemically change it. So it's this continuous process of welcoming. If you have a child who's crying, do you lock it up until it stops, or do you soothe it? And it's not mean that it goes away, or I need to let go of a part of me that no longer belongs. No, it's about welcoming, soothing it, and then letting it just be free. Liberate it. Let it be seen and heard, like every aspect of yourself. I want to be seen. And so let it be seen. And then it just doesn't go away. It just calms down. The child just calms down and starts playing and starts being, you know, it's.
Isn't that interesting that so much of the medicine is allowing everything to be seen and to have space so that it can be loved, and that we don't have to do anything to get rid of it. It reminds me of what you were talking about with the community and the tribe. We don't like how we don't need to fix anyone. We want to be seen. We want to be witnessed. And the biggest service that we can give another is to see them and to witness them. So it's almost giving everything visibility in each other and in ourselves without needing to make anything move or do anything, like allowing the beingness to be the medicine.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's this witnessing, because if I'm ugly, if I'm angry, if I'm upset, if I'm frustrated, am I still accepted? And those eyes reflecting back at you, that presence of that person reflecting back in you, they haven't gone. They haven't left you. And you're just there seeing your own mirror going like, oh my God, I'm still here. Everything's okay. I can still feel these things and be all these things. And I'm still here. I'm still surviving. I'm still accepted. I'm still part of the tribe, because the primal source is that you're going to be cut up from the tribe and you will literally die. And it's like, that's why the fight or flight is there. But we can reframe that with consciousness. We can really start choosing to be witnessed, choosing to witness another. That's also crucial, is that we also want to sometimes save another. And just by you wanting to save the other, you're usually doing it for selfish reasons anyway, because what they're feeling makes you uncomfortable. What they're feeling reminds you of your parts of yourself that you don't want to feel. So it also, witnessing another stretches your nervous system as much as theirs. It's very important to not fix, because there's no one to fix.
Yeah, that's it. There's no one to fix. It's all already perfect.
And also, Gabriella, I remember this moment where you were talking, and it was really just like almost like you were in a trance. Like everything you said, I was like, oh my gosh. And I remember, like, at one point, all of us
were so enthralled in what you were saying, but we all simultaneously really wanted to like write it all down because we were like, wait, did you guys just hear what she said? It was like so visceral in my body, that the transmission and the vibration of what you were saying, that I don't even know if I can articulate it. But what I know it had to do with was speaking your truth out loud. And I know it had to do with how it, and Kristen, you can help me with this if you had it a little more clear, had to do with like creating empowerment for the other by speaking your truth out loud.
Yep. I remember that moment.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. And the most important thing that I say here, and I think this is how I started as well the session with you, and it's very important that I start the session anyway, is that I speak my truth. This is how I have seen and how I feel and how I've experienced life. So don't take everything I say as the truth. You know, question me, challenge it. Don't, you know, have your own discernment. But having said that, I give myself permission to fully speak with conviction and with full embodiment, because I accept my truth. And then it's up to you. I give you back your responsibility, your own self-empowerment to discern what you're receiving from me. And this ties up with what you're saying, which is we want to deeply please, we want to be loved, and so we avoid saying certain things or avoid being certain ways. And what we're actually doing is that maybe that information we have to share, even though it's uncomfortable, even that feedback or even that expression of self that may feel uncomfortable to see you go wild or to see you speak loud, it's giving them an opportunity to also stretch their story, their journey, their things that they need to work through. And if you take it away from them, you're taking away their medicine, their opportunity to grow. You disempower them by protecting them. Yeah. You let them travel through their journey, feel the things they have to feel no matter what. If something's getting triggered by you, of course, I'm not saying to defend. I'm not saying for you, I'm going to be loud no matter what and you have to deal with it. That's not it either, right? There's also allowing the artist, again, to be awake, the awareness of how you're delivering, maybe the timing of deliverance. Maybe that person isn't ready and therefore you write it down. You do a podcast about it. You say it, you express it in however way you need to express it. But you honor it, and you honor the fact that that person doesn't want to hear from you, or that person now doesn't want to be your friend because they don't trust them. You know, you've got to honor their journey. And so give them their power back to feel the discomfort that they're feeling.
One of the things I wrote down here, which was on this topic, is this quote that said, if I don't take up space because of you, I've taken away your power to own your space.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This goes back to the shadow work. It's like, if you don't take up your space, when somebody else does, you'll feel resentment. You'll judge them. You won't allow them to take up their space because you're not doing yours. You'll judge them for it. But if you take up yours, your own, with full conviction, with full permission, because if you're still taking up space but still doubting yourself, you're like, oh, but I'm taking up space and I'm still getting complaints and I'm still getting people, you know, telling me to shut up or whatever. It's like, well, there's still a little bit of self-doubt. There's still a little bit of unwillingness there that needs to be worked. So go back into your inner world, take responsibility. But as soon as you take up space in your own full embodied permission, you will inevitably ripple that, and women and people around you will mirror that back to you. And if they don't, it's because they're not ready. And that's also okay to respect people's timing. It's all good.
Well, and I love that for so many artists and actors, I can imagine listening, that when they get jealous or competitive with other people doing what they wish they were doing more of in their life, or wish that they were taking the space up in their life to do. And so it does create that sense of separation instead of the sense of community, which is, oh, I can take up that space too. And when I see you taking up the space and I notice that little wound in me that wants to make you wrong for it, it's the opportunity for me to look inside myself and say, oh, I just see the place in myself that hasn't taken up its space. And I can see this as the opportunity or the call to action to ask myself the question of how I might step into that. And also how I might step into that kind of no matter what anyone says about it. Like, I don't step into it to get validation, or I don't step into it to be appreciated, or I don't step into it only if everybody agrees it's a good idea. I step into it because of my right to do so.
Because it feels good.
It feels liberating. This is a more of a feminine approach in that sense. You could, yeah, it could be a goal-oriented desire, or you want an impact, or you want results. And that's also okay if that's what you're doing it with awareness, and you're like, I actually want a result, therefore I'm going to do it. That's super welcome. There's nothing wrong. But there's also the simple feminine. It's just because it feels good, and it's empowering, and it's just fucking pleasurable. And I'm here to enjoy life and to be fully alive, completely, not missing out on anything. But just going back to what you said about the other actors and jealousy and all these things, you know, it's the jealousy and all these emotions. Again, you can want to reject them in you, but they're super welcome. And it's like, why am I feeling jealous of that person? There's obviously, I want something they have. And so they're giving you the gift of showing you what it is that you desire that perhaps you weren't aware of before. But the thing is, the trick is, and the illusion is that what they have isn't necessarily what you want. So it's not about taking up their space, because what you can do is project, and I want that. And then I go into their space and I do exactly what they're doing. And it also doesn't feel right. So it's more about going to this. These are more, it's like symbolism. You see the actor successful, you feel good. And it's about the frequency, the feeling that is what you are after, not the actual image. Because you can fool yourself and fall in the illusion and go into that place and become a successful actor and all of that and still not feel the frequency, the feeling. So when I say the inner work, go back to yourself, I want to feel that radiant and that free. What makes me feel radiant and free? And if you do not know, get out of the way and allow the universe again then to take you on a journey and allow yourselves to continue feeling that good. Because to manifest isn't just like, oh, okay, I'm going to put an image up and I'm going to be obsessed about that image. It's almost be blind to everything else that comes in your direction, because that's what you want. And that's when you get the house, the car, and people go like, all right, I'm here, but I'm not feeling it. Well, the feeling it was projecting on you before, the image was creating a frequency in you, which is really what was important. So desiring that and then letting go, and letting the frequency remain and be sustained in you, because you will attract something that matches the feeling and not necessarily the image. So jealousy, all of these things is an opportunity to go back into yourself and discover the beautiful and unimaginable world that the universe can create for you.
I just love that question. What makes me feel radiant and free?
Oh, I totally wrote that down too, Kristen.
You and I both jotting that down.
I was like, daily affirmation.
Like, I want to ask myself that question every morning.
Yeah,
what a beautiful point of entry and creative expansion for my soul to guide me to and through. What makes me feel radiant and free? And knowing that where that will lead me is different than where anyone else will lead them. Like Natalie and I could both ask ourselves that question every morning, and it will be a different expression inside us. You know, you also talked about Shakti energy and what happens when we repress that Shakti energy. It's like that you talked about how eventually it doesn't feel welcome if we keep repressing it and say no to it. It's like we start to block ourselves. That it can start to get the message that if I knock, I want to be expressed through this person, but there's nowhere for me to go here. And I just feel like that question is like a beautiful way to start to open the door up to that energy and tell our Shakti energy that it is welcome inside of us. It can move through us.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're talking about is finding the inner voice, right? The intuition. Mm-hmm. Is that the deep womb meditation we did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this was coming across to the Black Madonna and the medicine of the darkness that sometimes we can't see because something is in gestation. It's not yet born and we desperately want to see it. And it's just this allowing the voice, the intuition. And this reflects a lot in people who find it difficult to trust another. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening is that you're not trusting your own voice and your own inner voice. And the more you shut it out, it will start not trusting you. So it will be smothered. It will be, it will disappear. It will become very, very quiet. And the voice of the head maybe take more control. And you can get very much lost in that. But getting down and putting your hand on your womb, on your heart, whatever it is, your belly, you know, for the men, for the beautiful brothers, there's also a sacred space here in our belly for everyone that you can start tuning in and reclaim that inner voice, the subtle, intuitive voice. And it was funny because in the group, one of your friends had a beautiful message from her inner voice, but it was way too simple for her. Mm. And it was like, oh, she just wants me to dance or something like that. And then obviously I asked her, so you like complicated things? And she was like, yes, I do. And it's just allowing the simplicity and the effortlessness that it is to be in tune with yourself, the subtleness, because we want the deep spiritual experience. We want to have the high, like almost we're on drugs. It's like, it needs to be really impactful. The image needs to be super good. The voice needs to tell me something incredibly dangerous and all this desperation. And it's like we're numb and we need to be hit ever so often to wake up. So it's that also allowing yourself to tune into that inner voice, to allow yourself to tune into the more subtleties. So feeling radiant, alive, and free can sometimes be something so simple. It can be a simple moment that you're looking yourself in the eyes, in the mirror. It could be a moment you're touching your own breasts as you're massaging yourself, putting moisturizer or oil on your body. It can start waking up in the very subtle, subtle places. And then you can also start picking up on those beautiful, subtler voices within you.
Yeah, I think that's what we were even talking about of my transition from being in Bali with you ladies to coming back to New York, of feeling that stimulus and that fast pace and that abrupt energy. And everything's very obvious and it's fast and it's hard. And how to stay connected with the more subtle and the more sweet and the more quiet. And so what I was saying to you guys is part of how I've been integrating is just spending a lot of quiet time, because I really in Bali got a real chance to listen to that voice in a different way and to hear her whispers in a more intimate way and to really understand how much I have self-abandoned when I have thought someone else's authority must be more important or knowledgeable or better than my own. And so coming back to her and just the sweetest, simplest wisdom of, she says, oh, I want to eat this today. What? Well, I don't usually eat that. No, but that's what I want today, right? And it's so simple. I want to do this today instead of this. Really? But I always do this. Yeah, but this is what I want. And just the sweetness of connecting with it, almost like asking a child what it wants to do today. And that for me has been, in terms of integrating since my time with you, I think that's like one of the things I've learned the most to actually be the most powerful, is just that really deep check-in with little Natalie to say, like, how does she want to play today?
That's beautiful. And otherwise we miss the show. We're going so fast-paced that we haven't even, like, the good old phrase, stop and smell the roses. I mean, there's so much wisdom in that, but it's, you know, it's just being able to really slow down and see the subtleties. In the film of The Matrix, you know, that last scene when everything's going really slow and you can see every single detail, there's just an immensity of incredible life around you that we're just not managing to connect. And by deeper connecting with yourself, you get to connect with the outer world, with people, with your higher self, with the universe, God, however you want to call it. You know, you get to feel more connected with everything. And that is so expansive. And that is the deepest amount of love and bliss that you want. It's pure ecstasy. So to slow down, to listen, to really, as you were saying, honor your voice, honor the little Natalie is so important. And also going back to what you said about the Shakti is, and then she feels free to start rising and start the creative juices coming and the spontaneity and the beautiful energy that comes from there allows itself also to be seen and free. And wow, when it unfolds, you are a freaking magical being. Like, life is magical around you when you let it be.
Gabriella, I would love to also just, if you could touch on, you talked a lot about Eve and Lilith and the integration of the two inside of women. Could you just speak to that a bit?
These are the two strong archetypes that has been imprinted in the main Western and the main religions, the most popular religions. So that's why I kind of address it. It's a very crucial story, mythology that's been imprinted in most of the humanity subconscious. And the duality and the polarity of Lilith and Eve, as seen as separate as like the Madonna whore complex that we have as well in our psychology roots and studies. And it's just so important to like even the women who run with the wolves, she talks about the wild women and the civilized women, and to not keep them separate. It's not to reject the civilized or reject the virgin. It's not to reject Lilith. It's neither. It's getting comfortable with part of you that's just being less seen, bringing her to the forefront to work together. The dark feminine, Lilith, is nothing, is no one, is disempowered without the light, without Eve, and vice versa. There's a beautiful sacred union between the two that is very important for the world and for the sacred feminine in general, beyond women and men, beyond gender, to bring forth. Our sexuality, we've evolved technologically, our cognitive brains, our logic. I mean, we're super advanced in so many ways, but when it comes to our emotional intelligence, when it comes to our sexuality, we're so immature. And it's just about really letting that part of us rise to be integrated. And when I say integrated, I welcome the idea of paradox. So it's not to balance. Oh, I have a little bit of Lilith. I have a little bit of Eve. And in this moment, I'm going to use a bit of Lilith. In this moment, I'm going to use a little bit of Eve. Like it's like these ingredients. It's really the paradox. It's welcoming yourself to embody both at the same time, which is also quite mind-blowing. It's difficult to conceptualize. And that's really, really means we have to drop into our bodies. We have to surrender to our bodies to know what it feels like. It's like, okay, Lilith and Eve at the same time is like just boom. It's arriving to that. But to get there, for sure, I welcome the extremes. For sure, I welcome the polarities going bit here, bit there, bit here, bit there. And it gets shorter and shorter until a point where it's like, it's more embodied. So that's, if that answers your question.
Yes. But we welcome everything.
Yes.
Gabriella, this is one of our favorite questions to ask each other. So we will ask it of you. We love to check in with each other of like, what's on our leading edge of growth right now? So for you, I mean, you've studied so much, you've witnessed so much, you've embodied so much, you've traveled so much, you've worked with so many people. What for you do you feel is your next leading edge to where you are personally learning or where your work is growing?
So at the moment for me, because I've always been very innately in the sacred feminine, creative, flow, spontaneous, which is a lot of what I'm speaking about. I had an inner marriage with more of my masculine energy, which is this container, the boundaries, the bringing things into form, the organizing, the structuring, and the manifesting so that I can actually have something to give also. So at the moment, I've been birthing my business for the past year and a half. So where I'm being challenged with myself, with my own self-growth, is about really activating that. So I'm developing my website, I'm developing packages, and how can I actually bring this medicine? How can I actually impact and share everything that I have cultivated in my lifetime now into the world? And understanding the structuring and the deliverance of that. So it's more of this more masculine, I guess, branding, packaging, which I was very much opposed to. And I had triggers about that, the branding or this and that, and or having a website. And I'll be like, oh, pull my nose to it and judge it. And I really went in deeply, and I really discovered the beauty of it. You know, being contained by the masculine, being held by the masculine, is a sense of safety and security that I absolutely adore, when my partner is fully, you know, witnessing and watching me. And if I really feel like he's got my back, there's a sense of real surrender in me that brings out even more brightness and shiny, and allows me to become more myself. So I'm trying to find that within my own realm and my own business. So the branding, for instance, where I used to be opposed to it, now I understand that the more clearer I get with my message, the more clearer I get to communicate it, means that I'll work with the right women, because it's also about finding the person that really will benefit from this work. It's not just about getting out there. It's also about really reframing that. So I've been on a journey on that, and I'm coming to the other side, and I'm so excited to step into the big world and travel the world and share everything I can. And just, yeah, I'm really excited. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love the frame of how, you know, I think there's this idea that especially in our world where we are right now, there can sometimes be this idea of the condemning of the masculine and we want more feminine, but you know, the harmony that gets created when one can hold the other and create space and freedom for the feminine when the masculine can take that role is so powerful.
It's incredible. It's beautiful. But again, the masculine is nothing without the feminine. So it's seen as weak. It's seen as wounded. Of course it will be wounded without its counterpart. It's about integrating all these dimensions. So actually last year, I think it was even, I went on Valentine's Day. It was Valentine's Day. I was going through my celibacy, so there was no real desire to be with another. I was going through a lot of my own inner marriage process. And I had to go to the airport here to do my fingerprint or whatever, the visa situation here in Bali. And it was Valentine's Day, and I was a bit frustrated. Oh my God, it's Valentine's Day. There's all these events happening, and I'm going to the airport. Like, what? Why? Mm-hmm. And as soon as I sat in the car and started journeying there, I started to really start connecting with like, what is in this for me? Because of course, again, you're feeling any trigger. It can be the subtlest trigger. It's like, visit it, go within. There's answers. There's beautiful things there for you. And I started seeing this, the authoritative figure, the borders of countries, the organization of society that makes it feel more safe to walk in the street as women. That means we're more civilized to be able to feel protected. The organization of the government to really allow our businesses to thrive. The authoritative figure in front of me who's doing it, spending his livelihood in that office to be able to provide this for us. I just felt a sense of compassion and gratitude for all this that's been provided for me. And so I reclaimed also my inner authoritative figure that wasn't very powerful at the time. So I got to reframe my own inner authoritative, my own borders and boundaries and understand that it's just so expanded towards that. Of course, when it's out of balance or not integrated with the feminine in this more flexible and creative way, you know, when the computer says, you're speaking to an attendee and they're like, no, I'm sorry, the system doesn't allow it, but you're a human being. You know, we're starting to bring this more feminine approach to integrate it, but it's not about rejecting the masculine. If anything, I feel very grateful so far of how it served us. We're just ready to move on now.
Mm. And Gabriella, can you tell our listeners a bit about how clients work with you? So who is the kind of person who might be attracted to you, and what is the kind of work you end up doing with your clients?
So these are good questions, and these are questions that I've been asking myself a lot. As I said, this is part of my growth at the moment. So the women... A lot of people are asking, you should be a coach, you should be this, you know, when people are starting to help me. But when I really tuned in, the idea of being a mentor came to me. And what I understand from mentorship and how I see it is that I am working from an empirical point of view. I can only teach or pass on or pass a transmission on from something that I've already experienced, from something that I've already embodied. So I'm speaking to the creative women that have probably some creative blocks. I'm speaking to the women who have been through an abusive relationship and have felt incredibly disempowered in their lives. It could be through a relationship with a romantic. It could be at your work. Wherever you're feeling disempowered and taken advantage of, a woman that is angry and is afraid to tap into their anger, a woman who wants to be more sexually aware and more sexually free, I work with the temple arts and the Mary Magdalene and this rose lineage of sacred touch, of this real raw feminine way. And there's something about when I say those words, for some women, it just resonates. It just drops really deep within and they feel the call. And it's really to the women who feel the calling, to come to me. And it's almost a pull. There's a knowing. And they come to the temple, and through my somatic work and going, doing some shadow work and then going back into the body and feeling all the, feeling it all really helps them to expand deeper. And usually after the temple journey, I have an integration session with them where we can almost ground it, you know, from that beautiful ethereal experience and landscape of a non-linear of this trance and this place of higher intelligence, but then to be able to drop it into this more grounded way and more linear way so that you can start taking actions. And I also offer a mentorship program. So even if you're here in Bali or mainly international, women can continue their journey when they go back to their homes so they can really incorporate and really integrate everything that's being remembered in their bodies. Because for me, one of my deepest values is integration. And of course, we can all do it on our own, but there's something really important because for me, it's the most crucial work. That's the real, real, real work. Having a spiritual experience is relatively easy in a way, but then it's going back to your homes and taking different actions and reframing and having a mirror, which in this case could be me, to really keep them to their truth, to really keep reminding them and to just holding them accountable, to keep empowering themselves and really doing the nitty gritty work, which is the small bits and bobs in your day-to-day life so that things can really shift.
Well, and I have to say, Gabriella, for all of the people listening, many of them have known Kristen and I to be best friends, and we call each other wives and soul sisters for years. We are beautiful business partners. We do this podcast together. And we have always been so incredibly close, traveling together, you know, just so intimate, all the deep conversations, all the beautiful life experience. And it really was our experience working with you and working with each other in this deep container where we have noticed our friendship, our intimacy, our ability to speak the truth to each other has gone to such new levels that we're just sending each other messages all the time being like, oh my God, this is the new most fun thing in the world is being in relationship with you, because it feels completely new because it's all gone to such a new height. And so we just thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I feel really, really humbled and honored to be on this path. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it's so true. Yeah, that's it. It's a deep remembering, and it's difficult for us to speak about. It's an experience to be had in our bodies. It's getting the transmission through this multisensorial landscape. It's not just with logic and, aha, I get this. It's tools are great, but it's something about going through it in your own body. There's real, real intelligence in our bodies, in our sexual energy, in our vital juices. So yeah, that's amazing. I feel really, really, really honored. And thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for sharing with our audience. Thank you for saying yes to this moment. And thank you for just all of the incredible work and play and embodiment that you are living and then transmitting for all of us. It was such a tremendous gift. And I know people listening will want to find you. So please share with our audience and listeners if they want to reach out to you, if they want to work with you, if they want to follow you and find more about you, where they can look.
Absolutely. Everything under construction, as I said, so soon will be out. Watch my space, and the space you can watch is at the moment mainly on Instagram. So I'm Awakening Magdalena. You'll find me on there. I have got Facebook as well, and I will be expanding soon onto YouTube, and we'll have my website. You can work with me online and in person. So I'm expanding this experience for people that can't visit Bali, or I can't go to their country in the meantime. And there's still a beautiful opportunity to go through a mentorship program with me online where I can offer you rituals and ceremonies and take you on a journey. So do reach out if you feel the call. And I am, yeah, looking forward to connecting with you all.
And Gabrielle, we'll make sure that we put your Instagram and your Facebook in our show notes so that it's easy for our audience to find. And I know Natalie and I, who have been deep in this work for so long, I mean, like almost a decade and a half of like just deep spiritual practice, walked away from our ceremony with you going, wow, that was one of the most profound spiritual teachers that we had been in contact with. So it was really, it felt so next level. And so thank you for the gift that you are giving to the world through that has come through your own evolution and your practice.
Wow, that really warms my heart. I feel extremely grateful. Thank you for this opportunity as well. Really, 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 really beautiful. Yay.
So much fun. We can't wait for everyone to follow you because also, friends, you will not believe how beautiful this woman is. I mean, just be prepared for the smile that will melt your heart. Just to know now.
bless you.
Gabriella, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. We know that our community is going to love you, and we just cannot wait to share you with them. So we deeply appreciate you. And to all of our listeners, we deeply, deeply appreciate you and the journeys that you are on. And we can't wait for you to bring anything that feels repressed all the way up to the surface so we can celebrate it with you in community. Because that is what we're all here for. So if you are listening to this and you are new to the Create Podcast, feel free to come over to our Facebook group, Create Community Facebook group. It's c.r.e.a.t.e. Or come over to our website, thecreateseries.com. And we'll make sure we have all of Gabriella's information for you here as well in the show notes of this podcast. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you all next time.
Yay. Ow. Ow.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?